to the Rosman Experience with your host, Rick Rosman. For the past 32 years, Rick has been a well-known name in the world of finance. He continues to follow his passion for volunteering and working with charitable and nonprofit organizations. His dedication to education and the youth of the Los Angeles area knows no bounds. He loves his work and strives every day to make a difference in the world. We invite you into the Rosman Experience to enjoy Rick and his many guests who will be bringing you their stories of philanthropy and volunteerism and introducing you to the many ways you can become involved in your community. It's time for your host, Rick Rosman.
Hey, everyone, this is Rick Rosman coming to you on the Rosman Experience on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. That's the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. And for those of you listening, if you want to call in today, 914-338-1303, you can call in and speak with me and our guest. But let's just go back a bit about how this show came about and why we are here today. This show came about a culmination. Many folks came to me, and it's going to sound egotistical. I don't mean to go that way, but many of you out there are unsung heroes yourself and are involved in so many nonprofits, and sometimes you don't want to let other people know what you're involved in. Out of the culmination of that, because of our involvement, Sheila and I, my wife, we're involved in a lot of nonprofits. I'm on the board of the AC Green Youth Foundation. I'm on the board of the Academy Business Leadership, which serves the educational needs of inner-city kids. A.C. Green serves the Boys and Girls Clubs in South Central. I'm an advisory committee at Jefferson High School, which is an inner-city school that has a lot of challenges, as you can imagine. We're also on the board, and just became president of the board, of Steps for Education L.A., which basically gives inner-city children, inner-city students, scholarships to parochial schools and tries to get them out of the dropout, drug-infested type area, which is endemic to South Central and to other schools, and try to get these kids on track where they finish high school in the high 90s and they all go on to college. We're also involved in Miller Children's, L.A. Children's Hospital. Union Rescue Mission is one of our favorite. Donate Time, Talent, and Treasure. The list goes on and on, whether it's ShareFest, South Bay Healthcare. It's just a matter of saying yes. One of our guests on here, we have the Osmoa Foundation, was on here a couple weeks ago. And Osmoa, I'm on their board. I'm the development director. And we do a lot of work both in Africa with AIDS. And, yes, we fight with widows and orphans in need and try to take care of that situation, as well as helping some inner-city kids get scholarships. So the show came as a culmination of that, where putting that together and then coming up with a radio show and saying, look, if Rick Rosman can do it, and believe me, I don't have a bio, ladies and gentlemen, that will be blue blood all the way through. My father owned a gas station, okay? So it gives you an idea of where we came from. However, my father was always about giving back. And he said, you know what? No matter what situation you're in, if you can help someone else, and I suppose it's out of his background of riding the rails in the Depression, that if you give back, you know, your life will be more fulfilling. So our idea with this show on the Rosman Experience is to get people off the couch. This is already, we're in February. Get people off the couch. They may have had a goal at the beginning of the year. This is the year I'll mentor a child. This is the year I'll go visit a senior and maybe one of those old folks' homes that, you know, never gets a visitation. This is the year I'll serve at a food bank. I'll help out somewhere. This is the year that I will make a difference. And instead, the year goes by, and guess what? Another year passes, and we haven't gone out, and we haven't made a difference. And the show so far, as it's evolved, is that we highlight nonprofit organizations that are doing it. So if you're interested in giving back, we give you the nonprofit that you can call and get some ideas and help out with time, talent, and treasure. Now, it's not easy. If you don't have the money, you may have the time. If you don't have the time, you may have the talent. I mean, there's a lot of retired engineers out there who could go teach math at inner city schools or go teach math at a homeless shelter. And by the way, yesterday we were at a fundraiser for the Union Rescue Mission, which is one of our favorites. And the Union Rescue Mission, there is 100 children right now who live at the mission. At the mission, not at their whole garden facility up in Sylmar, where they're trying to get the kids from the inner city out to a better environment. At the mission, there is a school bus that pulls up in the morning and takes the kids to school. In modern-day America, in 2013, we have a school bus actually taking kids from the Union Rescue Mission. That's their home address. If you can just sit back and imagine, that's not the America that we should know. And now, one other thing, and then I'm going to introduce our guest. We all remember, who do we remember most as our heroes? Mother Teresa, Albert Schweitzer, Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King. What did those folks do with the opportunities they have? And guess what? They have the same 24 hours of the day that you and I have. We both have that same 24 hours. So when you have that same 24 hours, what did they do differently? They made a conscious choice to make a difference. Now, Monday, somebody may say, well, God, I couldn't be a Mahatma Gandhi. I couldn't be an Albert Schweitzer. I couldn't be a Martin Luther King. No, but in your own area, you can make a difference. And then and every single time that you make a difference, one thing magical happens. When you give, you get back more than you ever could. Getting back to yesterday's celebration we had at the Union Rescue Mission, EasyWayBroadcasting.com was the host of the interview on the red carpet. We had a great fashion show. We raised money for the Union Rescue Mission and raised, I hope the number's up in the neighborhood of a couple hundred grand. It was very, very, very wonderful event. And that's where somebody makes a difference. Andy Bales, who performed the wedding for Sheila and I, he's the host up there, and he makes a difference. And anybody out there listening could make a difference. Now, I'm going to bring on our guest today. And, you know, everybody out there has a story. People who run nonprofits, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, could make a heck of a lot more money, if they were out there in the private sector. That means that they are giving up to give back, to fill the gap. And we've had some great, great guests on our show. And the next one, it's even more amazing when you hear the story. We are going to introduce Ruben Barras. Ruben, right now, is the CEO of the Scott Newman Center. The Scott Newman Center was founded out of the tragedy that Paul Newman's son died of a drug overdose way back in 1978, Scott Newman. He established the center in order to intervene with his own money. He wanted to intervene into the lives of people to help in regard to drug addiction. The center was founded. It also has Rowdy Ridge Camp, which is a special summer camp program for mothers and children affected by drugs and violence. The camp continues to change lives, bring healing to families, and build stronger and more resilient children and parents. Now think about that. We all have to hear about the drug intervention and the drug problems and everything else. Here's a place where they get the family, the mothers and the kids, and they take them out for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. They take them out, and they take them out, and they have full intervention programs where the kids and everything else have a healthy environment, get out of the environment that they're in, and make the intervention and enhance these people's lives before they go back home, and the success rate is off the charts. So the Rosman Experience today, is going to introduce to you and bring on Ruben Barajas, Chairman CEO of the Scott Newman Foundation. And to know Ruben, you can feel the passion, you can feel the enthusiasm. Ruben lives the life that we all dream of in regards to it's 100% giving back. So ladies and gentlemen on the Rosman Experience, please welcome Ruben Barajas. Ruben, come on board.
Hi, Rick. It's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for having me.
Ruben, just absolutely thrilled that you're here. Why don't you give us, Ruben, before we get into the foundation that you run and the day-to-day stuff, how did you, in your life, come to the conclusion that you wanted to have a life of giving back which got you to where you are today? What motivated you as a kid and everything else in order to have a life of giving?
Well, I think, you know, like you, Rick, I think it all started with my parents. Both my parents were very, very, very charitable, very philanthropic people. They were both immigrants, came to this country with not a whole lot, and raised three kids on one income. My father was, for the last 30 years of his life or so, his working life was a steel worker. And the thing that always struck me about my folks is that they were very humble, but they were very, very positive. They were very involved in their church. So, you know, needless to say, so were us kids, my brother and sister and I. And, and so growing up in that environment, and we had the benefit, too, due to my parents' sacrifice, we went to a parochial school, and that was for 12 years. And my parents, again, on one income, and not a very good income at that, led by example. And so we were always around or always encouraged to help others and to help other people in need. And I think for me, one of the biggest turning points, though, it was almost accidental, but I knew that when I got to college, or before entering college, I had this sense that I was going to go into psychology. I was going to go into a helping profession. And but what really tipped the scales for me was a somewhat accidental encounter, and as sometimes happen in life. And the lesson that I'll take away, and I'll tell you what the lesson was before I even tell you the story, but was to, when opportunities present themselves, you know, there are those of us who are very, very lucky and get and a lot of us receive opportunities. They show up, but the trick becomes in being able to identify them, and even if you don't know that they're great opportunities, at least taking a risk and going for it. And so really, I there was this funny little thing that happened when I graduated from high school. Literally, the night that I graduated from high school, a family friend was at the house celebrating with us, and he said, what are you doing this summer? And my reply was, well, I'm going to look for a part-time job before I start college in the fall. And this friend knew that I was that my athletic background was in swimming, and he said, you know, I have a friend who has a summer camp and he's having a hard time finding lifeguards. Have you ever been a lifeguard? You ever worked at a summer camp? And the answer was no to both, because that's not something that in my household we didn't have any extra income to go to summer camp. But the bottom line is, I took this opportunity thinking it was going to be just a quote unquote fun summer job, get a tan, work on your fitness, you know, look good. It turned out to be the kind of experience that absolutely positively changed my life and guided me in the right direction. And what it ended up being was, it ended up being a summer camp for basically inner city kids who really didn't have a whole heck of a lot. Kids that, for the first time in my life, I saw a kid get off a bus and come to this camp. And all the clothes they own were in one bag. And you'd hear stories about them not, you know, having to share, as a family, having to share one meal, or not having eaten for a few days, or father in jail, or mom having to go back to the old country to raise money and send it back. And, you know, I heard these stories over and over and over again. And not to mention, of course, all that urban flight that you talked about earlier, all those other challenges, you know, kind of like you mentioned, like the kids face, for example, at Jefferson High School. I mean, inner city kids faced with all kinds of issues around, you know, obviously, you know, street crime, violence, gangs, drugs, you know, you name it. And so that, making the decision to work at that camp really reinforced what I wanted to do. And so I continued down that human service road for my entire career. I mean, so that was at age 18, and well, I'm now 48. So my career has really come from that germ. That germ is what kind of led to this career. And along the way, I've had the opportunity to work in various, you know, different, you know, theaters of human service. And of course, the latest one being the one that you mentioned earlier, the Scott Newman Center.
Wow. At 18, okay. Now, I don't know. Obviously, you're different. At 18, my mind wasn't on giving back. If somebody said being a lifeguard at a youth camp, I probably said, hey, this is the year between growing up and going to college. I got the next 90 days. Many kids go out and not, I'm not judging, but many kids, as we know, they go, hey, this is the weekend. This is the 3 months to goof around. This is the last summer, so to speak, of growing up. I am going to go out and party and have a good time. How long were you up at that facility? And, you know, and you saw the things that you did. I mean, was there anything there when you, was there any particular kid or any particular incident that just basically said, I already, and you came back home and you told your mom and dad, said, I know where I'm to be for the rest of my life? Or was there still an evolvement, so to speak?
You know, that first summer, I think that first summer, it was a summer-long program. I think that first summer crystallized it. And the subsequent 5 summers just reinforced it. That first summer,
okay.
And it's interesting because it is not unlike the experience that I witnessed in the summer camp program that we now operate, where we have young people from college come and work for us, and their eyes are wide open, and they are just in awe of this kind of work. And they're not just in awe, but they're incredibly humbled, and they feel this sense of gratitude, and they realize how incredible it is to give back. You know, you talk about, you know, the gifts you receive by giving back, and it didn't take long. That summer, I remember just, you know, incident after incident, but one of the things that I remember one time that particular summer, there was the camp was so full. We had so many kids there. We had pretty much run out of beds, and it got to the point where we were using, like, picnic tables. As best.
Wow.
The counselors would sleep on picnic tables, and we put our mattress on top of that just so we had enough bunks for all the kids. And in my particular bunk, I think we maxed out at about 12 kids a cabin. And there was a boy in camp who was a special needs kid. And he was a great big kid. It kind of reminded me a little bit of of Mice and Men. He was kind of like a big Lenny character. He
sure.
was a gentle giant, big, strong kid. And but got picked on by some of the other kids, and was like a linebacker. This kid was huge, and I remember he was having trouble in one cabin. Well, there was one cabin where, you know, sometimes, you know, like with all of us human beings, kids, you know, the kids don't jive and together, you know, they don't mesh well, and so there were some problems that were you know, brewing in that cabin, and so. And a couple of boys in my cabin saw this and kind of came to this boy's aid. This boy was, again, 3 sizes larger than any other kid in camp.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know, can he come and be in our cabin? You know, they really wanted to look out for him. And they said, you know, no problem. I'll give up my bunk. I'll bring in a table. I'll sleep on a table. It was that kind of camaraderie. And I remember just thinking, wow, you know, here are children that don't really have a lot. These are all tough street kids, not street kids, but they're all tough kids from the inner city. And I wish the outside world could just take a glimmer as to what's happening here. You know, the humanity, the care, you know, the dignity, the way they were treating each other. And that one cabin that week, that stuck in my mind forever. As a matter of fact, and I remember late that week, and I still remember some counselors reminded me of this. Because as at that particular camp, when you worked in a program, in my case, I worked at the pool and I ran the pool, but then I also worked as a counselor in the cabin, and this was the cabin of boys I was talking about. A butterfly had fallen in the pool. Butterfly had fallen in the pool. You know, when butterflies fall in the pool, as soon as the water touches their wings, they're kind of doomed. It takes a miracle for them to lift themselves back up out of the water. So anyway, this butterfly, beautiful butterfly, had fallen in the pool. And this big kid, and I wish I could remember his name. I'm just going to call him Reggie right now. That name just kind of sticks out in my mind. But anyway, he saw this, and he jumped in the pool. He swam into the deep end, and he could swim. He was a terrific swimmer. But he then imagine Andre the Giant. Imagine if you remember Andre the Giant doing this. Going over, he put his hand in the water and then brought his hand up out of the water, so that the butterfly was resting on his index finger as he lifted his hand out of the water. Then he proceeded to tread water across the pool really carefully with his hand up over the water, got out of the pool, walked across the deck, went over to a fence. He carefully placed this butterfly on a post there, and he just watched it. And eventually this butterfly, by now the kids in our cabin came over and were watching. Then eventually the butterfly flew away.
And, oh, boy.
It was such a cool moment, and I thought, you know, if nothing else happened this week at camp, I just witnessed at least, you know, I witnessed two miracles at least at this camp. And, again, so that summer was amazing. And then just, you know, every experience after that, every year, and I ended up doing that for six consecutive summers as I worked myself through college and graduate school.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, Reuben, you're lucky. You had the calling, so to speak, at a young age, and many people out there wake up at some time in their life later, but it's just a matter of you said yes to the calling, and as such, your life has taken on such a you know, ladies and gentlemen, just to meet Reuben is amazing. The guy's enthusiastic. He's positive. He's always looking out for others. Why don't you then walk us through, you're right now in running the Scott Newman Foundation. Tell us how you ended up at the Scott Newman Foundation, what the foundation's mission is, the primary mission of the foundation, a little bit of history, and the current, like last summer and the summer programs and whatever, what exactly are they all about?
Sure, I'd be happy to. My winding up at the Scott Newman Center came about as a result of working in the field of human service, and at the time that I came across the Scott Newman Center, I was working as a counselor. I was working as a juvenile diversion counselor for a local police department here in Southern California. And the Scott Newman Center ended up partnering with that particular police department on a parent education drug prevention initiative. And so I got to know the Scott Newman Center and got to see what they were doing, and saw that they created these terrific programs that were all about preventing the use of alcohol and other drugs in families and youth. They were dedicated to educating healthcare providers, law enforcement, teachers, counselors, parents. And the whole intention was to, as you said earlier, to prevent tragedies like Scott's from repeating themselves. And so when the Scott Newman Center was involved with our organization, I ended up working closely with them on this parent education program. And when the time came for the director of that program at the center to move on, I was asked to take over that program. And it was my job to take that parent education drug prevention program from a local program to a state program and then take it nationally, which is what we did, and that was very exciting. That was very cool to be able to take this program and train trainers in, I'm not kidding, Walla Walla, Washington, Honolulu, Hawaii, Pensacola, Florida, Knoxville, Tennessee, Long Island, New York, parts of the Midwest, the Southwest, it was Northern California. It was very exciting, and as the center evolved, one of the things that we noticed was, okay, we're doing a good job getting the message out to youth, we're including parents, but there was something missing to the work we were doing. And in a moment of, I'm not sure, epiphany or inspiration or call it what you like, we decided that we needed to take the extra step and move our organization into more proactive action and not simply create programs that were about drug prevention education, either by creating research-based curricula or a video or a multi-part video series or a public service announcement for television. We needed to go a step further. And what we decided to do was to create something that was very close, very near to dear to Paul Newman, which was summer camp. And we decided to merge our passions here. Use summer camp as a vehicle to bring healing to families that have been affected by substance abuse and also domestic violence. So we decided to create this program partly out of the fact that Mr. Newman was so passionate about summer camp and had already founded a camp on the East Coast called the Hole in the Wall Gang Camp, which a lot of people out there have probably heard of. A lot of people out there in Radio Land and in Rosman Experience Radio have heard, and which many people either knowingly or unwittingly support through some of the proceeds from Newman's own food products. And so we decided that we were going to basically step out on a limb and create a very special program for the children and the families that we had encountered along the way in our work at the Scott Newman Center. We had encountered all these children and families who had been affected, had suffered the ravages of substance abuse, of domestic violence, and parents had received some treatment. Children were receiving counseling. But then there was a missing piece. There was something missing that was helping the family bond, was helping the family become stronger and communicate better and have some memorable positive experiences as opposed to a whole string of bad experiences that they had up until that point. So we decided to create a program called the Rowdy Ridge Camp. And
wow.
The Rowdy Ridge Camp is now going on. This year will celebrate its 20th year of existence. So that to me sounds, that's just saying that right now sounds incredible that our camp is turning 20. And so what we've done since the inception of the camp is absolutely positively heal the lives of families, and we invite families to come to camp as a unit and experience really a one-of-a-kind experience where the family is together and the family gets to meet incredible counselors and really, really be healed in a holistic way, where it's not just the kids being served, but it's the mothers, too, and the kids, and in some cases, fathers, too, by the way.
Mm-hmm. The when you take them up there, okay, so Rowdy Ridge Camp, and you get this family that has drug issues, and whether it's the most of the time it's the mother and the child, and sometimes the dads are up there. Typically, I don't know. I mean, I imagine it's got to be really an incredibly daunting task. I mean, taking them out of the environment. First of all, they got to be willing to go. So that's got to be interesting to be able to get. And then once they're up there, the intervention program has got to be somewhat intense. And you know, can you share with us, I know that intervention programs are not 100% successful, but can you highlight a family that you yourself, obviously can't name names, but you yourself know that without Rowdy Ridge, without Ruben Barajas and the Scott Newman Foundation, that family would have gone south instead of north, and just highlight because the specific example is usually people love it. So go ahead and give us an example of a family that when they left, you know today that if it wasn't for you, they would have been in the dark side.
Oh man, that's a great question, and man, there are a lot of families that come to mind. There are quite a few that come to mind. I think the ones that stick with me the most. There's two different groups that stick with me quite a bit. And they're the ones that are the families that are many times the hardest to reach, the ones that seem like they are just sometimes beyond hope. And then there are the ones that continue to remain engaged with you. Those always seem to stick with me. The latter of the two, what's really incredible is that, and what's been a real beautiful thing to witness is the fact that so many of our counselors now, who are now in college, are former campers, some of which originally came to our camp when they were toddlers.
Oh my!
And I remember one mother telling me whose son now has been a counselor for us. I remember one mother once saying that up until they had discovered summer camp, she did not know where they were going to live the following week after camp. She did not know beyond camp, and she took. Here's an example of a woman who, like that choice that I made when I was in high school. Obviously, hers much more serious, but my choice to decide to work at a camp. Well, she made the choice to trust her social worker at her agency and go to this Rowdy Ridge camp, and it ended up changing the entire course of her whole family's life because she had about 5 children. Every single one of those kids have come to our camp again. The oldest starting as a toddler, and the oldest, maybe not the oldest actually. So probably the oldest was probably maybe 10 years old, and then the youngest being toddlers. Every one of those kids have come to camp and have become junior counselors, and the oldest has become a counselor. The two oldest have become counselors, and one of the things that I remember her saying to me too, she said that up until she, besides not knowing where they were going to live after coming back from camp, she never had envisioned her children ever going to college. And of course, now her children are in college, and she never imagined that her young men were going to be different than their father. And their father was an alcoholic and verbally and physically abusive, and someone that the children learned to fear. And she shared with me, and this is something that I hear over and over again, the women that come to the camp say, coming to this camp, this is the first time my children have ever been around men. And when I say the first time, I don't mean it's the first time. Of course, they've encountered, you know, healthy men out there in the world. But as far as, but to the extent that they do at our camp, where consistently the men there, they're not screamers, they're not yellers, they're not berating them. They're not putting down their mothers or the kids. They're patient, kind, and this mother had said that coming to camp had been the first time her kids, especially her boys, had ever really been around that kind of a male, and she said that it's been the most incredible experience to watch her boys become the counselors she first saw when she came to camp so many years ago.
Oh, my God. So in a sense, not only drug abuse, but you're dealing with spousal abuse. You're dealing with child abuse. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the whole plethora of problems. That had to be sometimes, that had to be overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
We cover the gamut.
Okay. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then, Ruben, we're going to come back, and we're going to then highlight how people, what are the current needs of the Scott Newman Foundation, and where do you see the Scott Rowdy Ridge and the Scott Newman Foundation going in the future. So just hang on for about one minute here. I've got to do the obligatory commercials, and then we'll come right back, and maybe I'll talk so fast it'll only be 30 seconds. So just bear with us, okay?
All right. Thanks.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Rosman coming from you today from the Rosman Experience on the Easy Way broadcast. TheEasyWayBroadcasting.com. You can find us on Rick Rosman 1, Rick Rosman 1 at gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter, the whole nine yards. TheEasyWayBroadcasting.com. A little bit about what we're up to today. We're interviewing Ruben Barajas, who is the chairman of the Scott Newman Foundation, which is an organization that is giving back to the nth degree. And ladies and gentlemen, on this interview, when you hear about drug intervention and yanking a family out of the drug situation they're in and up to a healthy camp where they have the resources and the therapists and everything else to work on the interventions, and then you just heard the story. You not only had to deal with child abuse issues, spousal abuse issues, drug issues. Oh, my God. I mean, so it goes on and on. So we're going to bring Ruben back on the Rosman Experience. By the way, we're on every Sunday, 4 o'clock, same time, Pacific Standard Time, and we'll do that at our close. But we're going to bring Ruben back. Ruben, by the way, we've got a couple of callers. And Eric, which one did we bring on? And I'll let Eric, okay, we've got 8502. Go ahead, please. Who are you? And identify yourself and the question you have for us. Hello.
Yes, hi.
Are you on?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Yes, I can.
Yep.
Who's this?
Oh, okay. Yeah, my name is Scott, and I just want to commend you guys for the work that you're doing, you know, on the Rosman Experience. You know, I listen to the show every week.
Wow.
I have a bit of a cold, but I just felt impelled to call in and, you know, let you guys know that, you know, the work that you're doing for people out there, you know, for abused children in homes and drug abuse is very important, and someone needs to take that stand and, you know, just keep up the good work, guys.
Well, Scott, we appreciate the call, and you heard what the story before we went to break, where Ruben not only deals with, you know, drug abuse has many different tentacles, unfortunately, and
mm-hmm.
where they were dealing with the one of the mothers came up to him and said, "This is the first positive male experience her children have ever witnessed, and if anything else, she wants her children to be like the counselors." I mean, that's heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Scott, okay, where you're at 818 area code. Are you involved in any nonprofits, or what kinds of things are you doing to make a difference?
Well, I do a lot of ministry work, where I do a lot of prayers and, you know, stuff like that. And I deal with a lot of people that are, you know, on drugs or suicidal through drugs or coming through, you know, repressed families or just, you know, bad upbringings in general. And, you know, I try to keep them positive and, you know, keep them on track. So,
that's the kind of stuff I do. Great, Scott. Thank you. Do you have any questions for Ruben before we go to our next caller?
No, I just wanted to tell Ruben, you know, keep up the good work. The Lord has put you on the path for a reason to help people. A lot of people in the world need this kind of help. And, you know, just keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. Well, obviously, you're doing the same thing, too. So, you know, the more of us that are out there doing that, we're all on the same team. We might be, coming at it from different, slightly different philosophies and different approaches and different backgrounds, and that makes it all the better. But I think the fact that you're out there doing that, too, deserves our kudos as well.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Scott,
we're all praying
for you and what you're doing, because you touched on something. You touched on suicide. That takes a tremendously strong, faith-based individual to have their roots deep in faith of God to help turn around those that are thinking and contemplating the taking their own life. So again, I echo what Ruben said. Thank you for what you do, and that's what the show's all about, is to highlight the people that are giving back, and we appreciate the call. So Scott, thank you, and have a great day.
Well,
okay?
can I say one more thing to the viewers out there, maybe that you're going through some type of, you know, depression or something like that, and, you know, don't let the enemy get you down. God loves you. There's people out there such as this radio station, people that truly care about you and want you to come back. The feeling good, and there's nothing too big that you can't overcome, and, you know, just take a deep breath, take things day by day, and everything will be just fine.
Scott, thank you very much. Have a great week, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Bye-bye. Okay, Ruben, we one of the things I wanted to ask you, I don't know, is Eric going to a call? Eric, are you going to a call? I think you are.
We have to take for a commercial, but no, go ahead and ask.
All right, Ruben, where we're at, where you're at today, Scott Newman Foundation, what are the challenges that you're facing, and how can anybody out there where our voice is reaching today, what is it that you need, you desire, you pray for? I nonprofits in today's environment, ladies and gentlemen, all the way across the board, whether it's United Way, or the little church on the corner, because of the economic situation, it is tough out there to keep the doors open and keep things going. And I know that there's challenges, Ruben. You've managed to hang in there for 20-plus years. What is it that people, that if your wish list, how can people get involved in time, talent, and treasure?
Well, the best thing to do, is, as with any organization, visit our website, and which is basically the name of the organization, Scott Newman Center. So it's easy to remember, scottnewmancenter.org. And on the site, people have an opportunity to, first of all, read a little bit more about our organization, learn a little bit about our work, find out a little bit more about the camp, and then they can choose different types of options for ways to help us out. You know, with nonprofits, we welcome support from all different levels. From the foundation that can, you know, or the individual that is very successful and has money to give, four or five figures or more, down to the person who can only, you know, give a much smaller amount. But we also welcome people's time and talent. And in the case of the camp, for example, we accept volunteers to come and help and bring different types of skills and activities to the camp. Sometimes we're in need of goods. In the case of the camp, vehicles, for example, are very much welcome, especially if they're a van, you know, a passenger van or a truck. But what it really comes down to with nonprofits, you know, sometimes I think the Red Cross always has a very good way of putting it. When tragedy strikes some part of the world, or even here in our own backyard in the United States, the Red Cross is always very, very, very happy to welcome all kinds of help from people, including manpower, including goods and services, things along those lines. But what they always come back to is, because many times the kind of work, the kind of relief they have to give is miles and miles away, and it's very specific to that particular incident, that particular tragedy, whether it's a weather system or whether it's something, you know, man-made, some catastrophe, is they ask for money, because that money could then in turn be used specifically for what that situation calls for. And I think that, you know, I've thought about it a lot, and I think that in the case of a nonprofit organization like ours, the same really is true. It really is true because let's just take, for example, the summer camp as the clearest, you know, most tangible example. It's the program that for us represents the highest expense. We provide this service free of charge, and have for 20 years to all the children, all the families that come through our doors. Most of the families live at or below the poverty line. If we were to charge them what it costs us to put on this incredible experience, they couldn't afford it. These are families who can barely afford to put food on the table and pay the rent and take care of those more basic fundamental needs, basically day-to-day survival. The last thing they're going to have expendable income to do is go to camp. And although we recognize that the camp experience is absolutely positively life-saving and life-changing, we know that if we charge them for it, we're going to lose them, and we won't be able to reach these families. So we do need the money to be able to pay for this experience. And the experience includes, if you can imagine running a school. You know, summer camp is I told people, well, it's kind of like running a school, but it's kind of like running a school, like a boarding school, though, where all your pupils live there. And on top of educating them, you're feeding them, you're housing them, you're entertaining them, you're bringing in special guests, you're having field trips, all these activities, and you're doing them week after week after week all summer long. So as you can imagine, if you've ever sent your child to camp for even just 1 week, and one child to camp for 1 week, you know how much that costs. Imagine now, in our case, let's say we have 100 campers a week, week after week after week in the summer, the bills start to add up pretty quickly. So what it really does come down to is funding. And, again, funding on all levels. The person that can write a, you know, write a small check for $25, $100, $500, you know, all the way up to the CEO of a Fortune 500 company that can give us, you know, more than that. We've been very lucky in that we've had many foundations step forward and provide us with grants in the amounts of $10,000, $25,000, $50,000. We currently have a challenge grant by an anonymous donor in the amount of $50,000, and that anonymous donor will match that grant up to $50,000 if we meet the first 50. So right now the clock is ticking, and that grant and that challenge goes until March 13th, 2013. So 3/13/13 is our date to be able to raise as close to $50,000 as possible, so that it'll get matched dollar for dollar. One of the things that we've encountered too that's been tough. You alluded to this earlier, Rick, is the economy, and that sadly many foundations have individuals have scaled back the amount of giving that they give to organizations like ours. So what would really help us is to have more people out there, more eyes and ears, you know, boots on the ground, so to speak, looking out for that next foundation, that next individual, that next corporation that could become another one of our angels and step up and provide us with a gift that could really change the course of our organization and obviously the lives of thousands of people every year.
Ruben, what does it cost to let's say a family of four? What's the cost per week for a family of four with that complete intensive intervention that you folks are known for? What would it cost for one family of four for 1 week?
About $4,000.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So yeah. So if you do the math quickly, multiply so that thousand per person times 90. Let's just say 90 campers a week or 100 campers a week. You can see how it very quickly starts to add up.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to share a story with you. Many, many years ago, there was some sweet nuns from one of the religious orders down by where I used to live in Santa Ana, California, and they always asked me to go down to a orphanage in Tijuana. Now, I was busy. I was building a career and raising a family, and I said, "Well, go to the sweet nuns." They say, "Sister, I really appreciate it. What is it that you need?" First thing the nun said, "My God, we need money so we can buy food and the basic necessities for the orphans at this orphanage in Tijuana." So many people out there don't have the time. They're busy creating a career. They're busy making a career. They've got family responsibilities and everything else. So the one way to give back and to get involved is to write a check to the charity that you love. And in this case, if you don't have one, on the Roslyn Experience on EasyWayBroadcasting.com, we vet the charities that are on here. We know who they are. Matter of fact, I've been involved with some fundraising with a spectacular fundraising opportunity program with Ruben, is that you can get involved and you know the money is going to go to where it's supposed to go. That's half the battle in a nonprofit. So, ladies, you heard it. It's $1,000 a week to put a child through or a family member through for 1 week. So that's incredible. Now look at it with your own kids. You have your own kids sitting off the camp was never a problem. Oh, gosh, I'll send my kid to camp. Here's someone who is actually taking the children from a very challenged background, the family from a very challenged background, and putting them into a place where they're healthy, where they're protected, where they're safe, where they don't have to worry about spouse abuse or child abuse or any of that. And, you know, of course, the funding needs are there incredibly. If you don't have, if you have access, and I'm sure Ruben said goods, if you got access to a van, if you got access to transportation, if you happen to know somebody owns a bus company or something, hey, you know what? They need transportation to go up and down to, from the camp. That is money that Ruben doesn't have to spend out of pocket if you can donate something in kind. And you can reach him, Scott Newman Foundation. .org, if I got that right, scottmoonfoundation.org. You can reach Ruben. And the third thing is something obvious, staff. I'm sure there's a retired doctor out there. There's a retired psychiatrist out there. There's a retired nurse out there who, you know what, who may want to donate a week of their time to go up and be part of this. Again, I can, all I have to do is reach out to Ruben, and I'm sure they can accommodate. If there's something out there, a retired psychologist, school teacher, therapist, nurse, I'm sure there's room for them on to be involved and to give a week or two of your time. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, when you give of your time, your talent, and your treasure, an open hand is never empty. It will come back. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. It is written in the book. Reuben's living the life. I know Reuben personally. I've shared some of the ups and downs with Ruben where he says, man, Rick, I don't know if I, but last year, I don't know if I can keep the doors open. And you know what? Through a miracle, they were able to keep the doors open. They had a great success. Now we're planning on camp for 2013. This summer is up in the air. Will we get 1 week? Will we get 6 weeks? It depends on those that can say, you know what? I can see myself getting involved. Go to scottnewmanfoundation.org, scottnewmanfoundation.org. And, Ruben, why don't you, you know, just talk about maybe some of the ways that you've seen people get involved with. I know you can't name names of those that have helped you. I know there's some major foundations and everything that do help you. But the more money Ruben gets, the more people he can impact.
Sure. Well, I'd be happy to share that with you. I mean, one name I'll share with you right now that and by the way, our website, just one slight correction on that. It's actually it's www. Scott Newman Center, not foundation, scottnewmancenter.org.
Okay, thank you for correcting that.
Well, here's a great example. You know, a great friend of mine a couple of years ago said, your organization, you know, what you really need is a film. You really need a film to be able to tell people, show people what really goes on at this camp. To just tell them just does not capture the real impact, the real healing that takes place up at your camp. What's going on up there is beyond just theoretical, scientific, you know, education, prevention work, which sounds so sterile. What's happening up there is absolutely life-changing. It's transformative. It's absolutely transformative. So his gift to us was, and I'm gonna keep his name anonymous right now, but he's a tremendous business leader, and he sells a product that is in every amusement park and every sports venue in this country. Very successful, and one of the most giving men that I know. And so he produced for us. His way of giving to us was to produce, pay for the production of a beautiful documentary film. And the documentary film runs 24 minutes, and that film is now part of our story. Now we're using it as a tool to get the word out about what we're doing. So that was his beautiful way of giving to us, and it's already begun to make an impact. One day I was at the home of a business acquaintance of mine, a gentleman who I'd become friends with over the last couple of years. We're having dinner. And he said, hey, whatever happened to that, or how's that film coming along? And I said, oh, funny you should ask. I happen to have a DVD with me. It's in the car. If you don't mind, I'll go out and get it. Went out, got it, brought it in the house, popped it into the DVD player, and we sat down to watch this film. Halfway through the film, he says, you know, he said, who else have you shown this film to? And I said, well, I happen to show it. I just got done screening it to the California Community Foundation. And then his eyes lit up, and he said, wait, you know, my father used to have a fund at the California Community Foundation, and we still have some money in there. I'll bet that we could give some of those funds to your program. Let me make a few calls. Well, It happened. You made a couple of calls. The foundation was excited about it, and he ended up giving us $50,000. This was last summer. And you talk about a knight in shining armor. You talk about coming in at the absolute most critical time. And all of that came about as a result of just sitting down with someone and showing them this film. So you know, my first friend, who I'll just call Wally, produces this beautiful film for us with his intention being to help us fundraise. And there I am in someone's home showing them this film, and the gentleman I'm showing it to, who I'll just call Larry, eyes perk up, and before you know it, a couple months down the road, we now receive one of our biggest grants of last year. So it's funny how things happen. People out there have resources. They want to give. Sometimes, like you said, Rick, they just don't know where to start. And we'd like to reassure people that there is so much need, or just remind people there is so much need right here in your own backyard. Yeah, there are organizations that are involved in world relief that is so necessary everywhere in the world, every corner of the world. And, two, there are a lot of people right here in our very own communities. We're not just talking the communities that people tend to associate with, you know, with urban challenges, you know, the inner city, you know, South Central Los Angeles. We're talking these problems, the ones that we're addressing, substance abuse, domestic violence, serious family issues, they are in every community that we've ever been involved with. I mean, they're omnipresent from all different corners of Southern California, obviously, and then to whoever's listening out there in radio land, you know, beyond the confines of, Southern California. You would probably agree, like our caller earlier, these problems are everywhere, and addressing them here at home is so critical. It's only going to help our own community. It's only going to help, you know, your community at large, your county, your state, your country. So we welcome people's support. And again, sometimes it shows up in the funniest ways. It's not always. Support to us doesn't always come in the form of a very formalized grant application process with, you know, all these various steps that you need to take with a letter of intent and a grant application and a review. Sometimes it just happens because you know someone who's been touched by this issue, and we just connect the pieces with the right players, you know, in connection with each other, and before you know it, a wonderful gift has happened. So we hope that we're there to help facilitate that process.
All right. Ruben, your story resonates with so many people. Your story is poignant. Your story is one that one can think about. It's just emotional. What you deal with at the camp, drug abuse, then you have the spouse abuse, the child abuse issues, all of that is being touched by the work that you do. We are thankful for what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to support Ruben again, go to if I'm right on this, it's ScottNewmanFoundation.org, right? ScottNewmanCenter.org. Have I got that right,
correct.
Ruben? Tell everybody again. ScottNewmanCenter.org.
ScottNewmanCenter.org, exactly. Yep,
okay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is a real rock star. This is a guy who chose to make a difference. You heard his story. You heard how he came to be into the Scott Newman Center. You heard about the 20 years success that they've had, and now with the recession, you hear about the issues that they're facing. But you know what? The drug abuse, the spousal abuse has not gone away. The child abuse, drug abuse, and spouse abuse has not gone away. It's still there. Matter of fact, with the recession, it's probably worse now than it was. The need is greater than it was just a couple of years ago. Ruben and the Scott Newman Foundation, Scott Newman Center, is filling the gap. So, Ruben, thank you for joining us today on the Rosin Experience. Would you keep
thank
us
you,
informed
Rick.
How things are going, and so we can give a shout-out every once in a while and tell us what's going on?
That would be my pleasure, Rick. Thank you for having me on, and thank you to Either Way Broadcasting for this opportunity.
Hey, great, Ruben. Happy New Year, and folks, please, this is the New Year's resolution. You always said, everybody said, someday I will help. Here's a way to help. Get involved, ScottNewmanCenter.org. Reuben, thank you, and have a great day, and may God bless the work that you're doing, and we pray that the summer will be very successful.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you. Same to you.
All right. Bye-bye now.
All right.
Bye. Okay, folks, we're winding down the Rosman Experience. A lot of things going on. The Rosman Experience is going to have a column in the Washington Times. We're going to, if you want to reach me, it's RickRosman1, RickRosman1@gmail.com. There's Facebook, Twitter. Go to the Rosman Experience on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com. We've got more guests next Sunday. It looks like we're going to have a principal from an inner city school going to be on and talk about what's going on in the inner city. So that ought to be interesting and maybe shed some light on those that go down and give it all. You heard a story, ladies and gentlemen. Reuben Barajas runs the Scott Newman Center for, and it deals with alcohol, drugs, and it deals with abuse. And they take those kids up there, those families up there. For God's sakes, if that doesn't motivate you to want to go out and make a difference, I don't know what does. These things excite us. That's what the Rosman Experience is all about, is highlighting the heroes like Reuben. Reuben could be working in the private industry and doing far better. Instead, he chose to have a life of service, and he's become a good friend, and I've grown to love the guy. If you nothing else, take the time to call, check out the Scott Newman Center, actually talk to Reuben, and I go out and meet him, and I think you'll be convinced also. Many different things are going on in the Rosman Experience. On Easy Way Broadcasting, we're going to have the Rosman Award. We're going to be, like I said, on the Washington Times. We're going to continue with the radio show. We're doing motivational talks. We're involved in many different areas that is to enhance the situation in the entire world. When some people say, and I'll close on this, everyone's heard of the starfish story. Everyone heard about the little boy with his grandfather walking on the beach after a major storm, and all the starfish were up above the tide line, and the sun was beating on them, and the starfish were not going to survive. And the little boy, what did he do? He picked up the starfish and put it in the water. And his grandfather said, "That's not going, you got too many. It's not going to make a difference." And the little boy picked up one starfish and said, "Grandpa, to this starfish, it makes all the difference in the world." With that, ladies and gentlemen, this is Rick Rosman of the Rosman Experience on the EasyWayBroadcasting.com saying God bless, have a wonderful week, make a difference, do something unusual, do something spectacular, and yes, you too can choose to make a difference and be part of the solution rather than being just somebody who watches the world go by. With that, take care, have a blessed week. This is Rick Rosman for the Rosman Experience on the Easy Way Broadcasting, signing off. Take care. Bye-bye.
Listen to Easy Way Broadcasting shows powered by WTVNetworks.com every day of the week on Blog Talk Radio with celebrity hosts Eric Zulli, Shane Sparks, Sarah Winchester, Rick Rosman, and Mo Egger. Easy Way Broadcasting is the hottest place for music, sports, celebrity gossip, advice, and insider tips. Follow at Easy Way Broadcast. Call Easy Way Broadcasting Shows with your questions and comments at 914-338-1303.